The section of scripture we're going to read this morning is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 15 through 20. The basic concept being presented in this letter is that there's a way to live and a way not to live. We are being encouraged to live according to the example of Christ, whose radiant life is filled with light and love and wisdom. If you decided that you want to read along in your pew Bibles, you're probably going to notice that these verses contain a word which I think hardly anyone actually ever uses in contemporary language. That word is debauchery, and it means excessive indulgence in something that doesn't really advance your true or best purposes. More historically, it means being seduced away from your duty, away from your allegiance, away from your virtue. So I'm going to supply that meaning as I read these verses. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that seduces you away from what really matters. But be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. As an initial way of approaching an understanding of these words, I want to tell you a little bit about a man named Matt James Metzen, an artist whose work was recently reviewed in the Los Angeles Times. Metzen was living in New Orleans when Hurricane Katrina hit, and as the saying goes, he lost everything. And what he wishes others would understand about that experience is that losing everything means he lost his way of life. He lost his surroundings. He lost the people he knew. He lost the place he lived. Relative to those losses, the irreparable destruction of his stuff, his TV, computer, kitchen appliances, car, was not nearly as significant. If you lose your stuff, you never care about it again, says Metzen. Losing your community, losing your home, losing your daily patterns of being in the world is far more anguishing. It left Metzen struggling with clinical depression and post-traumatic stress. After the storm, he came to Southern California with his dogs and not much more than the clothes on his back. For several years, he scraped together the means for survival by working at minimum wage jobs. He also, tentatively, in fits and starts, returned to art, not just as his first and truest vocation, but as a means of literally keeping himself alive. Okay, Metzen explains, I have this chemical problem, he's referring to the depression, that makes me really, really unhappy. And I had this natural disaster happen to me that makes me really, really unhappy. What are you going to do? He asks. What are you going to do? You can either drink heavily, he says, which happens, or end up on the street, which has happened, or you can make art as if your life depends on it, because it does. Matt James Metzen, as far as I can tell, is seeing and describing the same choice as this letter to the Ephesians is describing. You realize how short everything is, says Metzen. You don't get to live very long. Be careful then how you live, says the scripture, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time. When the writer of the letter to the Ephesians uses the phrase, the days are evil, you recall he said, live not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. The implication is that bad things might be happening, either happening to us or happening all around us. Of course, we affirm that God's creation is good and beautiful, and that life and our time here on earth are precious gifts. But we also know that powers which twist and distort and grab and oppress have gotten a hold of a great many things and sometimes burst forth, wreaking havoc and causing great suffering and distress. In the face of that reality, which Ephesians refers to in sort of general terms, but Metzen has experienced in a very particular form, a choice must be made. What are you going to do, was how Metzen put it. You've got two options, the scripture says. You can be foolish. You could drink yourself senseless, checking out of your life and just trying to numb the pain. Or you could be filled with the Spirit, singing, making melody, and giving thanks to God at all times and for everything. Singing and giving thanks to God is the equivalent of making art as if your life depends on it. Giving thanks in the face of disaster, obviously, is no easy task. Singing, opening your heart to God when surrounded by discouragement, or when face to face with the horrible consequences of evil, may seem nearly impossible. But that's what the scripture recommends to us. Why? Because as Metzen and many, many other people have discovered over the centuries, that kind of spiritual connection, that kind of heart awareness is what keeps us going and makes our lives worth living. When we engage in practices that give us joy and hope, whether that be singing or painting or sculpting, walking or swimming or biking, writing or organizing or speaking out, studying or cooking or volunteering, when we do those things and persistently give thanks to God for sustaining our lives, we learn to keep our focus on what is still good in the world. We contribute to the transformation or the overcoming of the wrong, even as it tries to grab for power. We are joined to grace and love. We become part of the mercy, the peace, and the justice which characterize God's shalom and God's kingdom, and which is growing even now into greater fullness in the world. The letter to the Ephesians is urgently trying to encourage us to have the wisdom to make what might be the hard choice rather than the easy or the obvious one. Even when staying sober and attentive, even when adopting an attitude of praise and thanksgiving seems to be going totally against the tide of what is all around us and almost more than can be imagined, the scripture wants us to imagine it. And since particular examples of courageous thanksgiving can help strengthen our spiritual imagination and thus our ability to live in accordance with the example of Christ, I want to tell you now about Elizabeth Canham, who struggled mightily with the scripture mandate to bless the Lord at all times and give thanks to God always and for everything. Elizabeth's low point came when she received abrupt notification that she was about to be relieved of work that she loved. Her position was being discontinued. The community of people with whom she lived and labored was being disbanded. Stunned, confused, fearful, and deeply disappointed, she made a supreme effort to seek some lifting of her spirits by driving one foggy day in February to the coast so she could take a walk along the beach. It was rainy, the beach was deserted, and Elizabeth's vinyl jacket quickly made her feel way too hot and all sweaty. But she was so agitated that she stomped along anyway, refusing to stop for any reason. Psalm 34 was running through her head, a phrase that says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. God's praise shall ever be in my mouth." Huh. The poet must have written that on a really good day, Elizabeth thought. How can I possibly bless the Lord and give thanks to God in my present circumstances? Her glasses were all steamed up. There was water dripping off her nose. Her thoughts were racing frantically. And then suddenly, she saw herself as she imagined God might see her. And she thought she looked something like a 3-year-old having a temper tantrum. She actually started to laugh. And it occurred to her that she was only seeing part of the picture of her life, the part that was gloomy and unresolved. And she sensed God reminding her that there were many good times, much blessing yet to come. And she felt herself invited to take an attitude of trust, especially as she began to remember times in her past when her limited vision of her situation was ultimately met by God's panoramic view. Elizabeth went to the beach that day to cry out to God and to seek some consolation and some reassurance from God. Sure enough, she says, hope found her there as she paced furiously along, exposing her desperate fear to God and muttering in her outrage, I will bless the Lord at all times. God's praise shall ever be in my mouth. To this day, hope and trust continue to be nourished in her and with her and through her in a similar sort of process of freely sharing her anguish with God and, as she does so, expecting to be met by the light of Christ. Blessing the Lord at all times, she explains, or as Ephesians puts it, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything, invites us to live fully in the now of our lives and commit to authentic prayer. We may regard God as a loving parent who wants only the very best for us, but will not remove the risk of being fully human. If we will give time to the pain, be present to the harsh experience, we will be given the grace to see as God sees and find perspective so that we do not lose heart. For another example of what it looks like and sounds like to live according to the guidance here in the book of Ephesians, I'd like to consider two people that are personally known to some of you, namely Orville and Reva Spaugh. Orville and Reva are in their 90s and are among the most thankful and cheerful people that you could ever hope to meet. They lived in Point Loma and worshipped here for a few years, and they were particularly famous for Reva's amazing cookies, for Orville's incredible smile, and for their vintage turquoise and white station wagon, which when they had a lot of cookies to transport, they drove here to the church and we would all run out to the parking lot ooing and aahing because it was several decades old and was in such great condition. And a while back, Orville and Reva moved up to Berkeley so that they could live right next door to their daughter and in this way benefit from the love and the assistance of family as their health became increasingly fragile. Shockingly, not very long ago, their daughter died suddenly and without warning. And you might think that such a loss would completely do them in. And I know that Orville and Reva grieved terribly. But I'd like you to listen to this note, which arrived here at the church just in the last month. Hi, we just got our beach breeze today. We enjoy reading all that's going on at PBUMC. We miss you. We enjoy the church we attend now, but a smaller church is nice. We've made some wonderful friends here, so God is blessing us each day. We hope you are well and happy. Love from Orville and Reva. The lifetime habit of giving thanks has not failed them, even at this juncture in their lives. They sense God's nearness and God's blessings even now, because a long time ago they decided that no matter what, they would make the most of the time, be filled with the Spirit, and make melody to the Lord in their hearts. At whatever point in our lives we decide to adopt an attitude and posture of thanksgiving, it will serve us and the world well. Michael Sullivan remembers that when he was a boy, he didn't really have much appreciation for the church's practice of gathering on Sunday mornings to sing and make melody to the Lord. My brother and I would have preferred to spend our Sunday mornings sleeping, playing outside, and consuming large bowls of sugared cereal, he confesses. Further, he admits that back then he felt a strong admiration for Tom Sawyer, who, when asked by the pastor of his church to name two of the 12 apostles that surrounded Jesus, blurted without hesitation, David and Goliath. Suffice it to say, Michael recounts, I started going to church at the behest of others, specifically my mother. I didn't appreciate it, didn't really understand it, but somehow all that talk about loving and helping and caring and justice began to stick. Not to say my transformation was quick or complete, but over the years, my attitude toward God and God's role in my life began to change. Now, as a man, as I look back with a new perspective on that experience of being raised and guided in faith, both at home and in church, I look around the world every day and I see the social injustice that's caused by greed, by materialism, by excessive ambition, by the lack of moral conscience. And Michael Sullivan says, I see also that I have the opportunity and the responsibility to practice advocacy and social charity. I am thankful that God has given me the opportunity to put to use the values I have been taught and reach out to others throughout my life. Be careful, then, how you live. Not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Holy and eternal God, we're born knowing how to sing your praise and live in gratitude. But sometimes as the years go by and we from time to time experience the days as evil, we forget how to keep our trust and our faith in you. And so we ask this morning that you help us learn again the habits of thanksgiving, which might keep us willing and able to live with open hearts, open minds, open hands. We look to you today for healing, for comfort, for courage and strength, sufficient for all the circumstances of our lives. We ask for wisdom and the gift of your Spirit so that we may serve as agents of your love and grace in the world. We pray, O God, for individuals and for communities that have been the victims of violence. We pray for regions of the world that are suffering the devastations of both drought and rising waters. May our prayers, O Lord, lead us to right action. And may we exhibit true generosity, even as you have been generous with us. We pray now as Jesus taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.